Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at ppclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Today, we have a very special guest whom we know and love. They've been with us for many years, Adrian and Sharon Thomas. Sharon is not here, only Adrian is up from the Dominican Republic. He's coming to share, and Adrian's gone through, we've been praying for him. He's gone through some physical battles, medical battles. He stayed in the DR during COVID, did not want to leave the people, and he and his family, and we've been praying for Courtney, his daughter, who's gone through some medical struggles. Let us never stop praying for our missionaries, because when we do, we leave them prey to the enemy, because they're in the enemy's camp restoring souls, and when we don't cover them in prayer, we leave them vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy.
Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. God is here with us. We know that He dwells in the praise of His people. I just want to thank Reverend Marie for giving me the opportunity to share today on this Mission Sunday. I bring you greetings from my wife, Sharon, who's in the Dominican Republic. I miss her this morning. My best part of our relationship is not here today, but she sends her greetings, and also from many pastors and leaders from the Dominican Republic that know Reverend Marie very well, but they also pass on their greetings to you and their deep thanks. It's hard to believe that we're actually in our 19th year in the Dominican Republic. You know, sometimes I don't realize how much time has passed until I see pictures of my children. My children were just little kids when they went to the Dominican Republic, and now they're adults and getting on with their own lives. And then you realize just how much time has passed. But in all of that, we can just praise the Lord for His goodness, His faithfulness, and His graciousness, and His mercy, and His blessing and favor that He's poured out upon us, and what has happened in the Dominican Republic and also in Haiti. And we want to extend our grateful thanks to you as a congregation. And I know that I speak on behalf of all the global workers that this church supports, that we are so grateful for your consistent and faithful support and encouragement and prayers and partnership for so many years, and especially during COVID. I don't know how to describe to you what it was like in the midst of this pandemic when there was so much uncertainty. We didn't even know what the next day was going to hold, and things are just changing, and you know what it was like. And it was so meaningful and encouraging to know that we had the support of people like you behind us. And it just gave us that motivation and that passion and that ability to push forward and see God's kingdom advance despite the pandemic. Nothing can stop God, amen? Not even a pandemic. And I can testify to you that God is still moving. He's still saving. He's still delivering. He's still working. And great and mighty things are happening in the Dominican Republic especially. You know, some of you may not be familiar with us. And so just really quickly, Sharon, Adrian Thomas, yes, and I know there's a little write-up about us in the thing, but our passion and our mandate is simply to come alongside pastors and leaders that God has raised up in the nations of the Dominican Republic and Haiti, and just do all that we can to make them more effective and efficient at what God has called them to do, to just lead well and to lead effectively and to fulfill the vision that God has given them. We don't duplicate or replicate or compete with local ministries or endeavors. We just come alongside them and help them and just strengthen, do whatever we can to help them fulfill the vision that God has given them. And although we're involved in multiple ministries, our key ministry, my heart, and I know Sharon's heart too, is just to pour into the lives of pastors and leaders. And we do that through conferences and retreats and seminars. We just finished two conferences, one on sound doctrine and the other one on multiplication just before I came back in discipleship. I love to do visitation. That's where you'll find me most of the time, out visiting with pastors and leaders. And also come alongside them just to partner with them to do outreaches and other events in their communities. But that all flows out, I'll be very honest with you today, it flows out of a passion for the lost. Sharon and I have such a deep passion for those who don't know Jesus Christ. And God has just taken that passion, and we channel that into pastors and leaders to train them to be more effective leaderships, to lead well. And lead well is equipping the saints to do the work of the Lord. Amen? That's what a leading well as a pastor is to equip, to train pastors to be able to equip their congregations to do the work of God. And that includes proclaiming Jesus Christ to this world. And I still remember in 2004 when Sharon and I were fasting and praying with our team, and we were just so deeply grieving about the fact that at that time, less than 10% of the population of the Dominican Republic claimed to be evangelical. And just God gave us in our heart to say, let's believe for double that. So we began to pray and preach and teach about 20%. Let's believe for 20% of the population of the Dominican Republic. Let's pray for 20% of the population of the Dominican Republic. And one of the most amazing things is just before I came back to Canada, Reverend Marie, this gets me excited. I'm trying not to get all excited here. But the latest statistic that came out is that 28% of the population of the Dominican Republic today are claiming to be evangelical. Isn't that amazing? God is good, isn't he? God is so incredibly good. And one of the pastors was messaging me. He said, okay, Adrian, now we need to believe for 40%. I'm like, let's do it. Let's do it. And out of that passion and mandate that God has given us, God birthed within our hearts the idea of planting a permanent ministry development center in the Dominican Republic. And we broke ground in early 2020. And, of course, the pandemic hit. But God is so good. God is so faithful. As I stand here before you, we have $4 billion up. And we are believing in faith. We're making a step of faith. We've already announced the grand opening in April 2023. Even though, as I stand before you today, and this is a big ask, we're still short $60,000 Canadian dollars to finish those $4 billion. But we're taking a giant step of faith, and we're going to be that God is going to provide. And on April 2023, we're going to be able to open those $4 billion for the glory of God. Amen? And we believe that God can do that for us. You know, many people have said to us when they've seen the statistics of what has happened in the American Republic, they say, well, Adrian, what is the secret? What kind of program are you guys doing? What kind of evangelical tool? What kind of training are you giving people? And can I be honest with you? You can't put your finger on any one of those things. It's been a supernatural move of God that we just get to be a part of. You know, I remember what John testified about Jesus Christ. He said, I baptize in water, the one who is coming after me will baptize you with Holy Spirit fire. And that is what we're seeing in the Dominican Republic. We're seeing people being changed and transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit in ways that you would never imagine or think. You know, when Jesus said, you will receive power in the Holy Spirit, and he will give you that ability to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And this is what we're seeing. We're seeing the Holy Spirit fall on people and saving them, and they know that they've been saved to be sent. That is what we hear all the time in the Dominican Republic. I've been saved to be sent. I haven't been saved to sit in a pew. I haven't been saved just to come to church on Sunday. I've been saved to be sent. And they're going out there, and they know they haven't been sent alone. They know that they go in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And it's just like Acts chapter 16, verse 5 that we're experiencing, where it says, and the church was strengthened in their faith, and God added to their number every day. Praise the Lord. Amen. And that is what we're seeing in the Dominican Republic. And yes, I believe there's a place for programs and steps and diagrams and class on evangelization. But there's something about it when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you and that Holy Spirit fire of God comes into your heart and life. There is nothing or no one that can stop you from proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And there's a powerful story in Acts chapter 4 that illustrates the difference the Holy Spirit makes. Now, I just want to give you a little background. You know this story here. Peter and John have been arrested, and they're in jail because they were talking about Jesus Christ. And they're brought for trial before all these men and religious leaders and others, elected officials, and every single one of them was against them. There was not one person there that was in favor of them. So there was a lot of enmity and a lot of tension, imagine. And they stood before them. And there's one thing in this section of Scripture that grabs me right off the bat. If you look in verse 8 of Acts chapter 4, it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know, the Bible is never careless with its words. It's always very deliberate, and there's a reason those words are there. There's a reason, because there's a meaning and purpose and revelation in that section of Scripture. There's a reason it says, filled with the Holy Spirit. Because remember, this is the same Peter who denied Jesus Christ 3 times. As the Bible says, he even made an oath, I don't know Jesus. And it even says that he cursed and he swore that he did not know Jesus Christ. He was when they asked him, oh, we know that you were Jesus. No, I don't know Jesus. Never heard of him. And I'm going to take an oath on that. I take an oath and I declare to you that I don't know him. I have nothing to do with him. And yet here he is declaring with confidence and boldness the truth of God's word. What was the difference? The Holy Spirit, amen. The Holy Spirit was the difference. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit had changed and transformed Peter in some incredible, powerful ways. I know my time is slipping away, so I can't share all of them today. But one of the things that I see in the Scripture is that the Holy Spirit filled him with such confidence and faith and trust And there was no doubt, and with boldness, he made this incredible claim. He said, there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name. No other name under heaven given among men on which people can be saved. Think about that for a sec. It's only Jesus. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Do you believe that today? Do you honestly, with all your heart, believe that Jesus is the only answer, the only hope for your friends, your family, your neighbors, those that you work with, those that you go to school with, those that you bump into at Walmart, another place that you shop? Do you sincerely believe with all your heart that Jesus is their only hope? Their only hope. Their only hope. Because I know if you really believe that, it's going to change your life. It's going to change your life completely. You won't be able to keep it to yourselves when you realize that Jesus is the only hope for this world. And we see what the Holy Spirit did to these men. Peter and John, when they were told, they were threatened. They were said, listen, you can't talk about Jesus. Don't even mention his name. If you do, we'll throw you in jail. We'll torture you. We'll even kill you. And yet, what does it say in verse 20? It says, we can't stop speaking about what we have heard and seen. Do you hear me today? We can't stop speaking from what we've seen and heard. Even when the threats come away. And they're coming here in Canada. Things are changing here in Canada. But we need to be so filled with the Holy Spirit that when people come to us and say, don't talk about Jesus. We don't want to hear his name. We say, we can't stop talking. But what he's seen and done, what he's done to us, we can't stop talking about what we've seen and heard. And the thing that grabs me in this section of scripture that has put me on my knees and just asked me if this is the kind of man that I am, but it is the person that I want to be, is that when they were released from prison, imagine they were released from prison and told, don't you ever talk, don't you ever say his name. And they gathered together to prayer, and I've always thought to myself, what would I pray for? If I just got released from prison and they threatened me, if you talk about Jesus, we're going to throw you right back in jail. We'll even torture you and persecute and kill you. What kind of prayer would I have offered to God? God, protect me, save me, help me. But you know what they prayed in verse 20, verse 29? They said, God, you know all these threats, but enable your servants to speak your words with greater boldness. Wow. Isn't that incredible? The Holy Spirit had changed them so much that they value Jesus. They love Jesus. They love the good news of Jesus Christ. They love the gospel more than their own comforts, more than their own safety, and even more than their own lives. I want to say, Lord, consider their threats, but even so, give us more boldness to speak your words despite these threats. And I believe with all my heart that as we move into this future that is coming our way, that is what we as churches and people need to start praying for. We need to pray for more boldness. Amen? We need to ask God, God, give us more boldness to speak your words, no matter what people say to us, no matter what they do to us, no matter how much they try to silence us. We're just going to speak. We cannot stop speaking about what Jesus Christ has done for us. Because listen to me. If people don't hear about Jesus, how can they call upon his name? And I'll close with this verse. In Romans chapter 10, you all know it. It's very familiar to all of us. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone telling them about him? And how are they to preach unless they're sent? You know, brothers and sisters, this world is changing, but God's call has not changed. He still needs some of us to go. He still needs some of us to send. He still needs us to give. And he still needs all of us to pray. Because there is a world out there that needs Jesus Christ. Amen? He is the only hope for this world. And I pray that somehow, someway, in the midst of all that's going on in your lives, that the Holy Spirit will just do something within you. Just fill every cell of your body with that passion for Jesus Christ. You say, God, I value Jesus. I value more than my own life. I value more than anything else. I just can't stop talking about you with those around me. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. And Lord, you know what has happened in the Dominican Republic. It's an incredible thing to be a part of. And God, you're the God of the impossible. You can do the same here in Canada. And Lord, I just pray right now for this congregation and for the families and individuals that are represented. Lord, that as we see what happened to Peter and John, Lord, filled with the Holy Spirit and just gave them that boldness and courage to proclaim you and just share about you no matter what. And they prayed for more boldness, Lord. I ask God that that will be our prayer here in Canada, that you will just fill us with more boldness to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to each and every person that comes across our path. In your wonderful name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Adrian, you missionaries love to fit in the frame, and they know that it's difficult sometimes getting into churches and having Sunday morning. So he went on speed dial. You still have time left. So what, tell us about tell about some of the houses you've been building, and just
it's funny because in the Dominican Republic, you know, if you preach less than an hour, they ask someone else to come up and preach after you. So I know I kind of went motor mouth there for a few minutes, you know, because I know because of time, I know how much time is cherished here. But God is doing incredible things, and yes, we're involved in a number of projects. We build 5 to 7 churches every year in the Dominican Republic. We've built or renovated over 70 churches as I stand here before you today. We also build homes for those who are in need of homes, and that's another project we have called our Transformation Project. We're just about to open a trade school. We just completed everything. We're starting to put all the equipment in, a carpentry. On one side is a carpentry business or to train people in carpentry, and the other side is actually a trade school classrooms. And that will be opened up in 2023 as well. So God is doing some incredible things. And again, we couldn't do it without you. So thank you so much in the depths of our hearts for your support and your partnership. God bless you.
And let me just share a little bit of even about to give context in some of those homes. Adrian and his team, they will go into an extremely impoverished neighborhood, and they will ask, who is the worst person or the person in the worst trouble here?
Well, we work with the community leaders. We don't choose the homes or anything like that. We work with the community leaders. We form a committee. And as we work in that committee, alongside the community leaders, they choose the people within their community that are the most impoverished and most needy. And then we just partner with the community. The community actually helps us build the homes. We provide all the material on all the resources and the money for the material. But they work on each other's homes, and it's just an amazing thing to see that that's part of the partnership, is that they have to come alongside us and provide all the labor and volunteer labor to build those homes. We just are about to finish 2 homes right now. Hopefully when I get back by the end of this year, we'll finish 2 more homes. And it's just an amazing thing to have the neighbors helping each other to build the homes.
And it's not because they're Christians. They go in, the community chooses, they build, and then Adrian and his team will bless them and walk away. But you consistently sure will see them engage in the church, because they're like, if you would do this for our community, then your God is a good God.
Every home that we've built, only 2 of them were Christians before the buildings were started. And yet every single one of those homes, members of the family are now attending the local church in the community.
Amen. And then the other one, I remember a number of years ago walking, the land was donated for this great project. We walked on it, it looked impossible. It was a blessing, no, it was a miracle that you received the land as a donation. But when I heard the project you wanted, even I walked away going, oh dear God, that is impossible. Tell us a bit, you got a minute or 2 on that.
Sure. Well, the Ministry Development Center, in the area that we are in, there's no place for the churches to gather together to do big events like this. And we work with 19 different denominations. And they came to us and asked if there's any way that we could build a center for them. And so we've tied it together as a Ministry Development Center. And as Reverend Marie said, you know, at the beginning of 2020, when the pandemic hit, we hadn't even raised enough money for 1 building. And we were like, and then the pandemic hit, all our construction teams were canceled. And I'm just being honest, as a global worker, we were hoping that those construction teams would also bring money down to help us build the next 3 buildings. And all that was shut down, and we didn't know what to do, but God.
Amen. Praise God.
As I stand here, even though we didn't promo it, because we knew that all the churches here in Canada were going through your own difficult times and uncertainty and instability and with your finances and things like that, so we didn't promo it. And yet God, the funds have just continued to come in on a monthly basis from so many different areas of here in Canada. And as I said, allowed us to get not 1 building up, but 4. And we're just a little $60,000 short those 4 buildings.
God's good.
Amen. Would you just reach your hands out online? Would you join us in prayer? Father, we thank you for those who've committed their lives to lifelong, lifetime ministry in other nations that are difficult, different language, different people, different culture. Lord, sometimes lives are threatened and different health system. But God, Adrian and Sharon and Courtney and their boys have been doing this all their life, and now their boys are in other places trying to advance as young adults in their education and their work life. But Father, we just pray on this nuclear family, the blessings of the Lord. We pray divine health upon Adrian. Lord, you know the struggles he's gone through. Most of us, Lord, who would get just a little cold was shut down, and Adrian's gone through surgery after surgery after surgery and returns back to the DR. We ask for a divine touch upon his body. We pray the same touch upon Courtney. God, most families would say, we're leaving the mission field. Our daughter is sick. But Courtney's like, this is our home. These people are who God sent us to, and they have been plowing through despite the terrible situation, despite the pain, despite the medical issues. And Father, we ask now for a crowning blessing and for the glory of the Lord to rest on them and divine healing to flow in their bodies. We pray for the other missionaries there with them. Bless them and their families. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you enjoyed today's episode and feel called to support and give to PPC, you can head over to our website at ppclife.ca, where you can give, get involved, and find out more information about our church. We can't wait to hear from you. God bless.